Ready, down, hut, 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 hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jason Wilde, one of the intrepid reporters who was at Goody's availability yesterday. Good morning, Jason. How you doing today?
Intrepid. How are you?
All right. Perfect. Is it starting to ramp up there? Are you starting to feel an energy? I know the buildings are going up and the spaces are roped off and whatnot. Does it feel different up there in Green Bay today?
No, not yet. Ooh. Although I haven't really been out other than walking the dogs. So you'll have to wait. So yesterday, obviously, I was at Lambeau, and other than, like, security, you know, kind of handling the fenced-off draft campus and workers scurrying about doing, you know, last-minute work on structures or cleaning things up or moving things around, like, I don't see, like, this throng of people, right? Because if you're coming to the draft, you're not coming on Monday. And I was just watching the local news this morning, and, like, we've got a bunch of food trucks that are going to be in downtown Green Bay today. But I'm trying to figure out, well, who are the people that are going to eat at the food trucks? Like, Paula and I and the girls were like, well, we should go down there so we can support them, because I don't think there's, like, a bunch of people in town yet for the draft. So I have not gotten that feeling. I will be out and about later today after our show ends. So I will be better able to get a feel for things. But no, I don't think it's kind of the calm before the storm. I don't think it's ramping up other than everyone getting everything, you know, the final touches in place.
Yeah, a lot of ops people, a lot of ESPN and NFL Network ops people who are going to be, you know, putting the draft on who are in town now. But to your point, not a lot of fans that have traveled to Green Bay this early. So what was your biggest takeaway yesterday from Goody's availability?
There were a couple. One, which is, I'm sure, something that made Gabe feel great, is that, hey, if we ever play a game this week, I feel really good about our team. We've got a very good team. That was interesting because, I'll be honest.
We're going to reconnect with
okay.
Jason.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that was
I thought it was me. I thought it was my ears.
No. Yeah, no. It was.
It's my side. I'm just going to recall him.
He did say, though, I did pick it up as I was, you know, every other syllable there, that the interesting thing was something that we discussed this morning in our production meeting. Right now, Chew, Goody feels very good about the roster he has. He feels like they could go to battle now, go on the field now, and have a good showing with the roster that they currently have. Your reaction?
Yeah, they could, outside of receiver and defensive line.
Well, no, but here's the thing, Chew. Do I think they can go out there and compete? Yeah, they can go out there and compete.
Yeah.
They can play.
But like
they're not going to compete at the highest level, but they can go out there and compete and play.
We've seen that movie.
we saw it all of last year.
No, and I said it earlier this year, and I believe I said it this year. They can beat anybody. They just can't beat four quality teams in consecutive weeks.
In a row. Mm-hmm.
They don't. Okay? Can they get to the NFC Championship game? Sure. Can they win two of those games against high-quality teams? Sure. They're not winning four.
Jason Wilde is back with us, so we'll go back to Jason. Jason, we were just saying what you had said, which was that quote from Goody about he feels confident in the roster he has currently, pre-draft, feels like they could go out there and compete. And I think we all had the same reaction, which was like, define compete. You know, could you play the whole game? Absolutely. Would you win the game? It's a crapshoot.
Yeah, no, I interpreted it as, and I'm sorry, but I've got my corded headphones, Gabe. I don't understand what the problem is here.
I mean, maybe one of the cats started chewing on the cord, and it's a little frayed, Jason.
No, they're nowhere to be found. It's just me and Stella right now talking. All right, so here's what I think. I think, you know, when he said stuff like how good he feels about the wide receiver group earlier this offseason, or when he had that line at the NFL meetings about how from a four-man pass rush perspective, we have everything we need on the roster right now. You know, we talked about how, at least in my opinion, those felt like, well, what the hell is he going to say? He added Mecole Hardman at wide receiver, and he added no one on the defensive line. But after yesterday and the way he said what he did, I am convinced that he is convinced that he's got a really good football team. And he's got a bunch of third and fourth year guys who are really going to break through this season. And he thinks that his grand plan, which Rob Domofsky wrote about toward the end of the season, I think he's a true believer in it. I want to revise my thought on him saying those other things previously. I think he's a true believer. And so, yes, he's not going to say, well, I don't need these 8 draft picks. You guys just let some other team use them. Obviously, he's going to exercise them, and obviously those guys, in his opinion, will make the team even better. But I don't think he was paying lip service to that now. I really, that was my biggest takeaway yesterday, was that he feels strongly about the quality of this roster, even if the rest of us have, as I heard Chewy's finishing up there, have some doubts about just how good it is and how far this team could go.
Yeah, but is that GM arrogance, Jason? Is that,
maybe.
Well, these are my guys. I drafted them, so they have to be good. Because is he an arrogant guy? He's a stubborn guy?
Yeah, arrogant is obviously a strong word. I don't necessarily want to use that. But he's definitely someone who believes that what he does is the right decision. You know, we've had conversations before about how collaborative he may or may not be outside of his personnel staff. But the fact of the matter is that, like I said, I really do think, whether it's hubris or whether it's overconfidence or whether he's right, whatever it is, he does believe it. And so, you know, I don't know which way they'll go at 23. The other thing that I was really intrigued by, which I came away thinking, well, they're not going to do that now. You know, I basically asked them, how special would a guy have to be for you to go up and get someone as opposed to staying put and just picking? And because if you look at his track record, he has never had a draft where he failed to take a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and a third-round pick. Now, he had 2 second-round picks in 2022, and he packaged them to go up to the top of the second round to take Watson. But he doesn't have extra ammunition to move up if he wants to. And I don't think he wants to do that to begin with. I think, you know, they had McMillan in for a visit. They went to see Goody went to see his pro day. He was very coy about him yesterday, Teteroa McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona. Whereas when people asked him about Cooper DeJean last year, I remember this very vividly, he gave an incredibly detailed answer, and a handful of us kind of all turned to each other and said, well, he's not picking Cooper DeJean, because why would you say all those things about him publicly? And that turned out to be the case, right? They watched him go right on by, and he went into the second round. So the way he answered the McMillan question made me wonder if there's a little bit of, you know, oh, maybe this guy's worth going up if he starts to fall. But I wouldn't be surprised after that conversation yesterday if he stays put the first 2 days, just picks where he's picking, or trades back to accumulate more picks. I don't get the sense that this is going to be an urgent, aggressive approach in this draft.
What did you make of him talking about athleticism versus collegiate production?
We don't look at the RAS scores, Gabe.
Oh, and we don't have anything like that, except we have something that is like that that tells us how athletic
analytics
somebody is.
Analytics tells how athletic they are. Okay, so you don't call them RAS. Gotcha.
Exactly. That is, and I didn't want to be belligerent, but I was like, okay, so you call it something else.
Correct.
I get it. But yeah, that was really interesting to me because, I mean, he knew I was talking about Shamar Stewart, obviously.
Yeah, and you guys were talking about Shamar Stewart without talking about Shamar Stewart.
Yes, and we were talking about you, frankly, because I know how excited you are about that possibility. Every GM is going to tell you that, well, it all factors in, right? What I thought was the most interesting was then after we had that back and forth about athleticism versus production or potential versus production, the thing that I came away with, and I actually wrote about it on Channel 3000, was the fact that, you know, this whole idea, and I've heard him say it hundreds of times, I feel like, at this point, about guys who love football. I really do think, and Chewy, this, when you were playing, I don't think this was quite as big of an issue, but I think with the advent of NIL and the transfer portal and guys being able to make enough money with the explosion of the TV contracts, that there are a lot of guys that basically want to get in, get their money, and get out. Mm-hmm. And it's not the same as it was when you were playing, where you had to try and eke out one more year, right, to make out, yeah, make a little more money, right? Like, I look at a guy like Josh,
it's like Ryan Ramczyk, right?
Right.
Retiring at 30, like, what are you doing? You're an O-lineman.
Right, and he's dealt with injuries, and he's gotten his big second contract. And he's like, I'm good. Thanks for having me. So, I, you know, asking him about that, I always use Eddie Lacy, who I really, really like as a guy. Like, I know he's going to be in town during the draft doing some stuff. I really like him. And one of the things I like about him is that he never made any bones about the fact that he didn't really love football. He's good at it, but, like, he didn't watch a bunch of football in his free time. You know, it just wasn't his jam. And I think there are more and more players like that. And so that is another one of the pieces of Goody's puzzle, is he wants guys that their priorities aren't going to change, that they are all about ball. And I'm sure that they have gone through this process and decided this guy, you know, this is a means to an end for this guy, which, it, by the way, I have no problem with, right? Like, mm-hmm, if you have the ability to do it and make that money and then go do something else where you're not giving yourself CTE by crashing into people in every, you know, every Sunday, great. I don't think that's a bad thing to feel, but certainly if you're a general manager, you don't want guys like that. You want guys that are going to keep running through that wall until you cut him with 2 years left on his contract and he doesn't get the money that he was supposed to get.
Jason, before we let you go, it does feel like there is a narrative around Goody's picks and commitment to his picks, where he believes in these guys. He thinks they are taking the right steps. We talked about Lucas Van Ness as an example. On the flip side, Jordan Love is one of his guys as well. And what I keep struggling with is, call it stacking the deck, call it confirmation bias, call it whatever you want. Doesn't putting a number one wide receiver on the offense for Jordan Love help this idea that Jordan Love was the right pick? I mean, maybe if we all are at this idea that, like, Jordan is good but not great, if you're Goody and you want to be able to show that your guy actually is great, feels like you could stack the deck a little bit and help him out with a productive, talented, bona fide number one wide receiver. How are we missing each other, Goody and I, if you want to talk about supporting guys like LVN and the process and all of that, but not helping out Jordan Love by giving him a receiver slash weapon?
Well, obviously, Jen, they have great wide receivers. I mean, he drafted them too, right? And so this is, I'll tell you this, this is absolutely brilliant. Like, I don't even know how to augment what you said, because you made so many good points. Like, you're right. You're absolutely right. And Goody doesn't agree. I don't know why, but he doesn't agree. Like, I totally agree with you. I don't run the team, and it's a good thing that I don't. But you're right. Like, the amount of grace he gives guys. Like, I mean, my God, Rashawn Gary is going into year 7, right? If my math is correct.
I'm sure he's right where they want him to be developmental wise, Jason. He's right where they want to be.
Yeah, you know, now they're gonna be in the second year in the system, even though he had his hand on the ground in college. So it's really the system he spent his time in Michigan. Like, Yeah, LVN's the poster child for it, right? Oh, he's very young. We heard that again yesterday. He's still very young. He barely played at Iowa. Well, then why'd you draft him if he barely played at Iowa? Because of his potential. But sooner or later, that potential's got to hit. And to your point about a wide receiver, maybe we're having this conversation on Friday morning about, hey, he listened to Jen. He must have caught the podcast. Right? Maybe they pick a wide receiver and end the 22 draft streak of doing that. But if you were requiring me to put a wager on it, I don't think it's going to be a wide receiver. And if I'm wrong, it'll be a great conversation on Friday, and you could take a victory lap that you, of all people, finally got through to Goody about the, your very logical, smart position.
Can't imagine. Can't imagine Goody is spending any time listening to ESPN Wisconsin this week, but one can hope. Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great show. We'll talk to you again soon.
Maybe you got the new app. It's so easy to use. It's great. Even Goody can use it. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
I hope that
it's
Brian
so
Goody
easy. Listening. Even Goody can use
ESPN
it.
ESPN Wisconsin. Was that a shot?
A Goody?
Kind of has to be, doesn't it?
No, Goody's biggest problem is everyone has eyes.
Right.
That's
right.
A shot.
The Emperor has no clothes. What are we doing over here? You remember the moments from that magical march in 2005. Frank Kaminsky leading the charge for Bo Ryan and Wisconsin in a run to the championship. Relive it all with Made 'em Believe. It's June 26th. You can join Frank, Sam Decker, Coach Bo Ryan, and others for an intimate night at the Orpheum Theater in Madison, celebrating the 10-year anniversary. Tickets are on sale now at uwhoops2015.com. That's uwhoops2015.com. Made 'em Believe is June 26th at the Orpheum Theater in Madison. It's presented by Bud Light, Michelob Ultra, Potosi Variety Ale, Potosi Hard Seltzer, and 3M Insurance.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.